Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
In South Carolina, they're going to have a vote for the Republican nominee for president. The leading candidate is a Mormon, Governor Romney. Tell me how you see Mormonism, his religion, and how you define it within the Christian community.
Well, you know, what I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. Well, I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
And that's enough for you.
Yeah, that's enough for me.
That's Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, best-selling author, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, talking with Charlie Rose on CBS this morning, answering a question about Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and his Mormonism. It's an odd question, I mean an odd answer to a simple question. How do you understand Mormonism in the Christian context? And he said, well, Governor Romney seems to be a believer in Christ like me. Now, if you knew nothing else about Governor Romney, nothing else whatsoever regarding his religious views, and except that he believed in Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead as his Savior, then I can understand giving that answer. What else do we need to know about Mormonism to understand what is meant when Mormons say that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they believe he was crucified and raised from the dead, that they believe he is their Savior? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 24th of January. Bill McKeever will join us to talk about a recent statement made by Joel Osteen regarding GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney and his Mormon faith. A little bit later, the church is remembering on this day St. Timothy. Timothy is that young pastor, that traveling companion of Paul, that later to be Bishop of Ephesus. And Paul has a lot of things to say to him, and Timothy appears there alongside Paul in several contexts. We'll see what there is to remember about St. Timothy from the New Testament with Dr. Jeff Kloa, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Bill McKeever is a regular guest. He's president of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd. How are you?
I'm pretty good. If all someone knew about Mitt Romney was that he believes in Jesus as his Savior, that he believes Jesus died and rose from the dead, as Joel Osteen said on CBS this morning, if you knew nothing else of him, I could understand why you'd come to the conclusion that Pastor Osteen comes to, which is, well, he's a fellow believer in Christ like me. What else do we need to know about Mormonism to figure out what's really being said there?
Well, of course, the big question you have to ask is, when Mitt Romney speaks of Jesus, just how is he understanding that word? Mormon leaders have been very clear that the Jesus that they believe in is not the Jesus that Christians have historically believed in. So if Mitt Romney is saying that, I think it's only proper to have him define what that term really means to him. I think Mr. Osteen probably needs to look into this a little bit deeper, too, because every time I hear him make a comment like this, he seems to always include the phrase that he hasn't really studied Mormonism all that much. He needs to do that. We have an incredible opportunity right now with what's going on to acquaint ourselves with what Mormonism is really all about so that we can make a proper evaluation of this religion and not fall into the trap of assuming that just because they use words that we use, that those words are defined the same. Therein lies the problem.
I've had experience with this, and this was probably a decade ago. I was visited by two young elders, Mormon men, and I thought at the time, quite frankly, this is before I'd read your book, Mormonism 101, but I thought at the time that if I simply make the articulation of the Christian position clear enough, that they would have to say that they disagree with that. And after some initial conversation about Joseph Smith, I said, well, you know, I believe that I am saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, apart from all works, that is Christ's work alone that secures my salvation and the promise of the resurrection. And to my great surprise at the time, they said, so do we. What's going on there?
Well, that's really not true, because this is an issue that I've been pressing a lot lately. Mitt Romney has said, like many Latter-day Saints have said, that Jesus is the Savior. To give you an example, I had a couple sister missionaries come to my house, and they used a very similar expression. I hear either they'll say he's the Savior, or occasionally I'll hear a Mormon say that he is their Savior. Well, then what we need to do is ask them, well, if he's your Savior, then ask the missionary or ask the Mormon, what did he save them from? And usually the answer comes back something like this. This has been my experience all the time. Well, if I repent, if I keep the commandments, ask the Latter-day Saint, well, how many sins must you repent of and how many commandments must you keep? And it always comes back that they have to keep all of them. Now, the problem, of course, if Mitt Romney says that he believes Jesus is the Savior, that really implies in a Mormon's mind the potential to become a personal Savior. But the reason why they probably aren't saying he's my Savior is because they have not met the requirements of Mormonism in order to have that assurance. Let me explain. Spencer Kimball, the 12th president of the Mormon Church, in his book The Miracle of Forgiveness, made this very clear. He said, this progress toward eternal life is a matter of achieving perfection. Living all the commandments guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation through that perfection, which comes by complying with the formula the Lord gave us. Now, you can see there that a Mormon needs to keep all the commandments, repent of all his sins, and only then, according to 12th President Kimball, can a Mormon have the assurance that Jesus is their Savior. The point I often like to make with Latter-day Saints that, okay, if those are the requirements, are you doing it? If you're not doing it, then you can't assume Jesus is your Savior right now. And that's the crux of the matter. We know, as you just said, we know that we are forgiven. We know that we have eternal life based on what Jesus did for us. It's not like that in Mormonism. There are certain things that a Mormon must do if they hope to meet the requirements and have the assurance of eternal life.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Whereas a Christian would believe that our forgiveness is the result of Christ's atoning work for us, that our righteousness is actually that alien righteousness that Christ gives to us, his own righteousness.
It's imputed to us.
Imputed to us. Mm-hmm. The Mormon kind of turns that completely backwards and says forgiveness is the result, ultimately the result or the effective result of me having kept the commandments perfectly. Mm-hmm. Then I can have a prospect of forgiveness. That's a very, very different definition
very
of Savior.
Different. Yeah, one Mormon apostle by the name of Francis Lyman said, there is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. So far, so good. But then he goes on to say, forgiveness does not come by faith alone, nor by promising that we will do better sometime. It is necessary that we should cease sinning and begin to do well. And church manuals have said as much, that if a Mormon hopes to have that forgiveness from their God, they have to basically stop sinning, because that proves that they are truly repentant. So their definition of repentance is certainly much different than what Christians have had. So this is why it isn't helpful when people like Joel Osteen make comments like that, because it becomes very confusing. But yet, if he was to talk to a Latter-day Saint on the streets, as I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of them, and if he knew how to ask the questions so that it would be as clear as possible, he would not see that there is a big similarity between us on this issue.
So, with a few minutes before we go into our first break, introduce us to the Jesus of Mormonism. In Christianity, we're talking eternally begotten, second person of the Trinity, incarnate through the Virgin Mary, and fully God, fully man in his incarnation. Who's the Mormon Jesus?
Well, in Mormonism, Jesus is the firstborn spirit son of Heavenly Father, the one they call Elohim, and one of his heavenly wives. He was the firstborn in the spirit world. How he did it, we don't know, but somehow he became good enough in the pre-existence, in other words, before he became incarnate, to become a god, something that even his own father, Heavenly Father, didn't do, because even the Mormon God, the Father, had to come down as a human being and prove himself worthy in order to become a god in this mortality, in his mortality. Somehow Jesus was able to do that before he came into mortality. But this relationship of being the firstborn son, and in Mormonism you have to understand, every human being born on earth is related as brothers and sisters, literally, because we are all the offspring of God the Father, born in the spirit world before we came into earth to take on mortality. This would even include, in Mormon theology, Lucifer, who was also a son of God, a brother of Jesus. However, Lucifer rebelled against his father, rebelled against his brother, and was cast out and became, in Mormon theology, the devil.
Well, let's take a break. Let's take a break right there, because our time is short. When we come back, I want you to pick up on that explanation of who the Mormon Jesus is, because it sounds like at the outset, if you hear Mitt Romney or another Mormon say, well, I believe in Jesus, he's the Savior, there are some major flags on the play. It's a different Savior. It's a different definition of Savior and salvation. We've already established that. And we're well on our way to seeing that, well, it's a different Jesus too. So these aren't just some minor differences between Christianity and Mormonism. These are real deal breakers. Bill McKeever is our guest. He's president of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the book Mormonism 101. When we come back, another 10 minutes with him. Then we'll remember, along with the rest of the church today, St. Timothy, Dr. Jeff Kloa, associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, will be our guest.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
There's differences in all religion. I realize Mormonism is different from Christianity, but you know what? He's a man of faith and values, and to me, that's strong.
Again, Joel Osteen talking about Governor Mitt Romney, presidential candidate, and his Mormonism. Doesn't see a big difference there. He recognizes there may be some differences, but he's a man of faith, and that's good enough for him. We're talking about these recent statements made by Joel Osteen regarding Governor Mitt Romney and the Mormon faith, asking the basic question, is Mormonism Christian? Bill McKeever is our guest. Bill, before the break, you were explaining who the Mormon Jesus is, firstborn spirit child of Heavenly Father, brother of Lucifer, somehow deified before coming to earth. Pick up where you left off.
Right, and Mormons don't explain how he was able to be deified before he came to earth, because in Mormonism, the principal understanding is you have to come into mortality and be tested and tried and overcome those temptations in order to prove yourself worthy to become a god in the next life. How Jesus did that before he came into mortality is difficult to understand, because Mormon leaders and manuals, I should say, have taught that we could only progress so far in the pre-existence, making it necessary to come into mortality. But that's an in-house problem that Mormons have with their own theology. I think what we need to understand as Christians is that Mormon leaders have made the distinction between their Jesus and our Jesus. And this is why it's so important that people at least look at this and hear what Mormons are saying themselves about this issue. And I'm not saying the lay Mormon. I'm not talking about even Mormon missionaries. You know, as zealous as they might be for their faith, I've talked to hundreds of Mormon missionaries, and most of the time, they are very ignorant of their own history and their own doctrines. We go to the leaders. The leaders in Mormonism have the authority to speak on doctrinal issues. They are the ones that we should be listening to and listening very closely. For instance, when Gordon B. Hinckley, who was the last president that the Mormon Church had before Thomas Monson, okay, in 1998, he said, in bearing testimony of Jesus Christ, this was in an article called the Church News, back in 1998, he says, in bearing testimony of Jesus Christ, President Hinckley spoke of those outside the church who say Latter-day Saints do not believe in the traditional Christ. No, I don't, he said. The traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak. A couple, about 4 years later, speaking in general conference, and this is a huge meeting that Mormons have twice a year in Salt Lake City, in downtown Salt Lake City, Gordon Hinckley reiterated that, and he said, as a church, we have critics, many of them. They say we do not believe in the traditional Christ of Christianity. There is some substance to what they say. Now, this is, at that time, he was the current leader of the Mormon Church. If anybody would know, you would think it would be him. This is why Mr. Osteen needs to study this subject before he makes these kind of comments. When you have a Mormon apostle, for instance, like Bruce McConkie, in his book Mormon Doctrine, page 269, he says this, and virtually all the millions of apostate Christendom, and of course, Mr. Romney would believe that Joel Osteen is a part of that apostate Christendom, because in Mormonism, all professing Christians outside of the Mormon Church are a part of this apostate Christendom. McConkie says virtually all the millions of apostate Christendom have abased themselves before the mythical throne of a mythical Christ, whom they vainly suppose to be a spirit essence who is incorporeal, uncreated, immaterial, and three in one with the Father and Holy Spirit. Now, McConkie does get some of his descriptions wrong there, but still, the point he's making is he did not believe that our Jesus was the true Jesus. And again, this is what Mormon leaders are saying. Why are we as Christians ignoring this? Why are we so willing to rush to some statement by a Mormon apologist or a Mormon layperson when their leaders have made it very clear for us? I don't understand that.
Mike listens in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, last month when Oprah Winfrey had her interview with Joel Osteen, she asked him the same question, and this relates to the way the Mormon Church views Jesus also. Is Jesus the exclusive Savior? And Joel Osteen's response was, he hesitantly said, well, yes, but Jesus can manifest himself in many different ways. So I think really the operative question to be asking the Mormon Church or Joel Osteen or Mitt Romney is the very question that Christ himself asked, who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you very much.
Question. It is. And I think when a Mormon who is knowledgeable about their faith gives a correct answer, hopefully the Christian will see that there is a huge difference. So when Osteen says there's differences in all religions, well, okay, yeah, I get it. But if they are so major that we are talking about a completely different deity, it's not helpful to the cause of Christianity to say there's not enough difference, and it certainly doesn't help the Latter-day Saint. Because a Christian who thinks that the Latter-day Saints are fellow Christian is certainly not going to feel compelled to want to talk to them about spiritual issues. So how does this help the Mormon? That's troubling.
One quick question on this before. I wanted to ask you about the LDS position on abortion, but before that, Joel Osteen is not the only one who has, either through lack of knowledge or study, made the mistaken Mormons for Christian. There are other evangelical leaders who have as well. What are your concerns there?
Well, again, I think my concerns would be pretty much the way I stated it, that if we're going to consider them to be fellow Christians, it takes away any impetus to want to try and talk to them about serious issues of faith and salvation. That's the problem. And many Christians, because they think the Mormons are fellow Christians, have no desire to talk to them about these issues because they see there's no need to have any talk about this. Again, it becomes important, and this is a great learning time we have here. There, you know, this strike while the iron is hot. I mean, Mormonism is an issue that is in the news right now. It behooves us as Christians to be on the ball and to get our ducks in the row and understand this doctrine the way it's been taught by the LDS leadership. Let's get a good understanding of where they're coming from so that we can properly share our faith with them.
Realistically, if someone were to ask Governor Romney about these questions, who is Jesus according to Mormonism, what is salvation, just realistically, do you think there's going to be a straight answer from the teachings of Mormonism forthcoming?
Historically, Mormons are usually not very forthright in those kind of answers, no, sadly. And people need to think about that. I mean, I don't tell people one way or the other how they should vote, but we need to examine what a person's worldview is, because that worldview is supposed to guide their thinking. And in the Mormon worldview, historically, they see no problem in not being absolutely clear about what they believe. They would much rather tell somebody some things and have them leave thinking that they're very similar to that person, rather than being very blunt and showing them the distinctives. And that's been a problem that I've faced in missionary work in Utah for years.
With about 30 seconds before we have our final question, if Governor Romney were to win the nomination and then the office, how would Mormons and Mormon officialdom interpret that victory?
Well, I'm sure they would look at it as some kind of vindication that the Mormon Church has gone from being this rejected, strange, cultic type of group to being more accepted and in the mainstream. But we have to remember that theologically, the Mormon Church really hasn't changed all that much. I mean, it still holds to the basic heretical views that have always kept it outside the parameters of Christianity. Unfortunately, many professing Christians, not being as astute as they should be regarding our own teachings, are probably going to be blindsided by this and, of course, assume, as the Mormons do, that this somehow legitimizes the Mormon Church. Time will only tell if that will really happen. I sometimes wonder if maybe if Romney was to become the president, that maybe a lot of Mormons might regret that day, because I know from my email and the visits to our website, whenever Mormonism gets, you know, mentioned, our visits spike like crazy because people want to know the other side.
Bill, before we let you go, Sunday marked the 39th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. You have an interesting blog post titled Abortion and the LDS Inconsistency. What does the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teach about the beginning of life with 1 minute?
Okay, they don't really have an official position as to when life begins. This is why many Mormons are all over the map regarding abortion. Officially, according to the 2010 LDS Church Handbook of Instruction, they say that it is a sin, but it is not murder. That is because they don't know when the spirit actually enters the body. So you have Mormons that are all over the place on that. Some past leaders have actually said abortion was unforgivable, and some have said that it's a terrible thing, but it's not actually murder, and that's pretty much the teaching today.
Folks, you'll find a direct link to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill McKeever is president of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Bill, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jeff Kloa, associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Today, the church will be remembering St. Timothy, and we'll do it along with him for the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Defining terms is absolutely essential, especially in an age where it's just not popular to define terms, or it's actually really more popular to have your own private definition of terms. So if you're going to have an intelligent conversation on any subject, you have to have common definitions of your words. But especially if we're going to talk about the differences between Christianity and Mormonism, we better make sure that we understand exactly how Christians define those terms and how Mormons define them as well. We'll be right back.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An abortion clinic offers freebies for clients.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In what some are calling a shameless publicity stunt, several Miami abortionists are offering free plastic surgery with an abortion. One pro-life group, Heartbeat International, also alleges that Miami clinics price gouge patients. Women pay for abortions through a payment plan that results in a much higher price. Many of the women are immigrants and vulnerable to such schemes. Just 4 years ago, no pregnancy help centers with ultrasound equipment existed in Miami, while 37 abortion clinics operated. Trying to turn that tide, Heartbeat will soon open a third ultrasound center in the Little Havana district.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference.